Good morning, everybody. I want to move around so bad I can't stand it.
There hardly shows.
Yeah. Which brings me to the point that some of the things I've been going through lately. You know, I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I really want to move around. I don't know, all up and down the walk, way right over here. 1 Samuel 15. Give it a chance for everybody to get there. And you know, we have a couple examples here. You know, we have David and we have Saul. And I know one of the things, you know, I was sharing with the guys on Thursday nights, and I probably should have came up here on Thursday night, was, you know, when, and I'm just going to paraphrase the scriptures, and I'm just kind of going to give it over top. I know Jeff and Brad heard me talk about this some, and that was, when he went, where he had that, the king sent out for a wedding. And he invited all the people of the land, but they continually started making an excuse. One by one, down the road. And then he says, well, you know, go out to this part. You know what? We're going to have to read it. I have to go over it again. But that's okay. Praise God. It's in Luke. It's in Luke, yes. Change of plans. I think he was in Luke. Luke 14. And we'll start at verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they were all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And, you know, as for me, when I was reading, I was actually listening to this on Thursday. It was one of those things where we talk about, and it goes on a little further. Let me go a little bit, a step further. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoso serveth doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That hate there is prefer. And I think we went over this last week some. But you know, the Lord began showing me some things. Showing me some areas in my life where I'm just like those guys that say, I pray, have me excused. I pray, have me excused. I pray, have me excused. I mean, there's there's those things I yet have not given up to the Lord. And the Lord in His good grace is showing this to me. He's showing these things to me. Because I want to be His disciples.
That's right.
It also says enter in at that straight gate. Can't have that garbage on you. You can't have those things before the Lord. And the Lord just kind of shines, and I praise God. He doesn't give it to us all at once. We go, oh my gosh. I'm doomed. But the Lord works on us. We say that prayer, creating in us a clean heart. Some of that creating in us a clean heart, some crap starts to come up. Then some things starts to come up that come before the Lord that we haven't even yet seen, but He brings them to the top so that we may get rid of them. That's part of the process. You know, and that's a good thing. I remember, was it one Thursday night, I said, can I get an amen to this prayer that His Spirit come down upon us and show us the things that become before the Lord. Remember that, guys? And He faithfully did so. And I praise God for it. And that brings me to a place where David was and where he says, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit with me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. And I'm probably going through not in exact order. But that was David's prayer. You know, David, the Lord's testimony of David was a man after my own heart. You know why that is? David loved God and was faithful to the Lord. And he loved the people also. That clean heart is loving God and loving one another. With no self in there. With no self in there. And yet, as the Lord works and His Spirit comes down, and as we say that prayer and we mean it, the Lord begins to show some of those things that we can have that heart also. I want to enter that straight gate. I don't want to be caught, you know. The Lord comes as a thief in the night. I don't want to be caught doing my own thing. I want to be caught being that faithful servant. Where He says, enter in that good and faithful servant. You know, so I want to go to Samuel 15. First Samuel 15. And you know, so I listen to that in the car, and I hear that and I start seeing some things, and I have to thank the Lord for it. And then, you know, I'm reading the Old Testament at home, I'm reading through this, and this is one thing that really caught my attention, made me tremble and shake in my boots. Huh? Oh. Yeah.
Especially when I'm driving.
But the beginning of what is it? Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. What is the beginning of knowledge? Is the fear of the Lord as well, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's what it is. So praise God. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint. All right, just to give you guys a rough end, Samuel was the prophet. You know, back then they called him seers. But Samuel was the prophet. And the time that Saul was king, Samuel was the one, the people wanted a king. God said, okay, you
shouldn't.
Samuel was the one that carried the authority of the Lord. And you know, the people said, we want a king. And he's like, God, you're king. You want this? You get what you want. But I tell you, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be fun, but that's what you want. Fine, you get what you want. Give it to you.
And the reason he wanted a king was because
And the reason why they wanted to be kings, they wanted to be like all the other nations. That was going through my mind. Thank you. But it wasn't going to be fine. But, you know, the Lord still was good to them and said, but if you fear me and keep my ways, it won't be pretty good. If you turn from me, turn from my ways, you'll get a leader after your own heart. Won't be good. And I'm paraphrasing all that. Those aren't exact words. But Samuel, so here's Saul. He's the first king. Samuel has authority. Now this is important too. You understand, the prophet has authority over the king. Some kings didn't recognize it, rejected it, and it was very, very, very ugly for him. Very ugly for him. Some kings received it with gladness. David was one of those. And when that prophet came to him, he hit his knees and said, I am guilty. I am guilty. And we're going to get there. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man, woman, infant, and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Samuel gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you have showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. You know, that's pretty cool. You know, what was the promise that the Lord said to Abraham and to his nations? I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse thee that curse you. And you see that happening right now. Still the case of the day. The Lord still loves his people and his promises to them. We have some other references where he goes, even though they have rejected the Holy One, I have not forgotten them. And you see here, the Kenites was just good to Israel at a moment in time, and praise God they were, and did not join with the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto the Cumas to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he has set up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth this, then, this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Are y'all following up to this point? Y'all know what's going on at this point? And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed.' Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." I'm going to stop right there. Should have stopped at 23, really. You see where Saul's heart was compared to David's. You have a couple things that's going on. One, Saul blamed the people for his disobedience and his rebellion. You know, the Lord tells us a big commandment. That is, love God, love one another. Not under the right circumstance. When it's convenient. Or when I like somebody, or when I don't like somebody. Or if it irritates me, or if it doesn't, that's all conditional. It says, love God, love one another. That's all philios. You got to consider what the Lord did for us. The Lord went to that cross while we were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And you know, this struck me in my heart. Because I'm not like David. I don't have a heart like David. I don't have a heart like the Lord's. The Lord said David had a heart after my own. Love God, love one another. Here's Saul blaming and making an excuse, just like those guys that were bidden in that supper. And you see what happened to those guys that have been in the supper. So they won't taste of my supper. Now, I don't want that. Whoa. Had a glimpse in there.
Oh, that means raw wine.
Yeah. Well, praise God. All right, don't move. See, you can see it right here. Me having to stand still. That's a hard thing for me to do, Bubba.
You can sing or dance or something while he gets back online. Or you can keep going.
But the Lord's good to show me these things.
Amen.
The Lord is good to show me that things irritate me when they shouldn't. Things get in the way of me loving God and loving one another. There's irritations that I'm just going to have to flat just get over.
Amen.
Because it's about loving Him, and it's about loving one another, and it's about doing His will. What does it say right here? It says, "And Samuel said, Hath not the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" That's question mark. "In obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Jesus walked that perfect obedience to the Father. Perfect obedience. for you and for me because we couldn't do it. And that righteousness that he grabbed, he did it. He was always right, already righteous. He was already God. But he came down here as a man to do it so he can have that extra cloak of righteousness for you. That righteousness of man that covers you. That gets you into that straight gate. That gives you that garment at the wedding time. So when the Father sees me, he doesn't see who I am, what I'm telling you about. He sees Jesus and his Son. And when he looks at the church, that cloud's over us. That cloud of grace. That covering of righteousness. Where he's going to take up. And he knows us. And he knows us. But are we willing to step in that cloud, in that garment? It starts with loving God, putting him first. What does it say? If you hate not your brother, the father, the mother, the sister, yea, and even your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. But it's all laying that down. You lay all that stuff down to love him. And the thing is, guys, you can't do a bit of good. A thing of good. You can't love your brother. You can't love your sister. You can't love your wife or your children with the love of Jesus unless you're in him and putting him first. Because it's his love that works through you that loves them. And you're going to be constantly about preferring one another. And preferring what their needs are to further their walk in the Lord and further them knowing the Lord. That's what it's going to be about. And however that looks, that might look hateful.
Show you how much you need the Lord.
It's going to show you how much you need the Lord. And that might seem hateful, folks. That might seem hateful because we have that point where we have Jesus, where he says, you know, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and says, he says, Lord, what shall I do to be saved? I keep the commandments. What does the commandments say? And goes through the list. And goes, okay, but there's one thing that you lack. There's one thing that you lack. So all that you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. Said Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him and he said that. But he loved him enough to tell him that barrier that was becoming between him and the Lord and that was going to keep him out of the kingdom, keep him out of that body, keep him out of that cloak of righteousness that the Lord has for him. Now he had a choice. We have a choice. Does it say, yea, Lord, or nay, Lord, have me excused? We do. It's utterly before us. Lord, I believe. And look, you know, let's go to Psalm 51. Let's read what David wrote when he was caught. Now look, I'm going to tell you, guys, there's nothing here that you have done in the past that the Lord cannot forgive. I'm telling you that right now. No matter what kind of guilt you're hanging on to, no matter what you've done, no whatever you committed or whatever you hang on yourself or whatever the enemy hangs on you. A lot of times the enemy hangs a bunch of guilt and it stacks upon you. So it's just an evil, terrible thing. It wants to drag you down to hell. And a lot of times we don't get that acceptance, we don't receive that grace because we're buying into the lies of the enemy or we buying into the carnal man that tells us we're worthless. Well, of course we're worthless, but the Lord's bigger than that. Because here we have David who just committed murder, who just slept with a man's wife and then committed murder. That's the order it went. And Nathan comes to David and says, "You art the man." Says, "You art the man." David goes, "You're right." So let's go to Psalm 51 and find it. And we can read into that if we want, but we won't. That'll be another time. I want to do that though too. I want to read where David fell and the Lord visited him. We have where Saul fell and the Lord visited him. Now we're going to see what David. I want to see where David fell and the Lord visited him. And the two responses are, "Have mercy upon me, O God." I just want to read what he wrote after this. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." He didn't say, "It was because the people, Lord." He says, "Lord, this is me. I did this. I did this. Nobody's at fault. I chose to do this. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." So when you judge me, you be clear. It's me. And I've sinned against you. Now, it was hurtful to Urias. Well, Urias probably is sitting up in heaven right now praising God. But it was hurtful, to the Lord's body there. And it was him that sinned against him. It was just like David putting one of the spikes in Jesus' hand and going, "Strike." See, that's the concept that we need to grasp when we say, "Well, I didn't crucify Jesus." But with your sin, you did. With your unbelief, you did. With the hatings and murderings, you did. Now you can say, "Well, I didn't murder somebody," but when you hate somebody, as in not preference, but when you hate somebody with an evil hatred or somebody that pisses you off, I mean, that's the Lord considers that as murder. How many times have we been there with one another? Let's get honest, folks. Let's get honest. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me." You know what? David understands sin and grace and the gospel here. Because he's born into sin. But he also understands that Jesus is the way out. Jesus reconnects you with that spirit. That sin is when you're born, you're just automatically cut off, man. As soon as you come out that womb, you're cut off from that spirit. Just like a rose that's cut off from the stem. It can still be a bud. You put it in a pot with water, it still blooms. That's what happens with us. But this whole thing's going to die. Regardless of the point of man wants to die, this thing's going to die. But where's your soul going to lie? Is it going to be grafted into that spirit, into that body? Or not? And it's a matter of just because of what Jesus did. Him dying on the cross and that righteousness that reconnects us back with that. So, David right here, you can see clearly, he understood the sin here. "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." He knows, you know, one thing that Brad said the other night, no matter, you know, there's no psychiatrist that can create a clean heart in you. There's no psychologist or whatever you have. It's only the Lord and His Word and His blood that washes that away. All of it. That's it. purged me with hyssop. You know what hyssop is? That was an herb, not marijuana. It was an herb. It was an expectorant. You know what an expectorant does, right? I mean, when you take an expectorant, you're all that congested. You know, you sound rough, and you don't sound that bad. But man, you take that expectorant, phlegm cards coming up, man, it sounds nasty. Yep. Boy, you sound worse than you were. Why'd you take the expectorant? You sound worse. You got to get that stuff out. Looks ugly. And that's what he does with us, with the purging. And David wants this. He doesn't want no iniquity in him. He wants to be where he's his disciple, where nothing becomes him except the Lord, before the Lord, except, you know, all that's before him is the Lord. Nothing comes between him and the Lord. That's what that purging's about. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. So wash them all away, Lord. I'll receive it, Lord. Wash them all away. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And right here you might have been thinking of Paul, Saul, right here. You know what? David didn't care if he was king or not after this. He didn't care what the consequences of his actions were. What he cared about is that he did not want the Lord to leave him. He knew the Lord was good and merciful and great, and he knew how barren and not a chance he has without Jesus, and he knew it. And the most important thing to him was, man, don't take the Holy Spirit away from me. Don't leave me, Lord. Well, kill me, but take me with you. Whatever. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. After all this, after he understands the grace of the Lord and what it means, the grace of the Lord, and how good the Lord is, he's going to start showing others that need his grace, that they can have that grace too. And transgressors that way, the ones who transgress against the Lord, pointing those things out, man. Hey, that's coming before the Lord. That's becoming before the Lord, as Jesus did with the guy. I said, "The one thing thou lackest, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God." He was a murderer. He killed Urias. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
You're supposed to get into talking to Samuel. Doesn't that sound a lot like what Samuel was telling Saul?
That's exactly where I was going. That's exactly where I was going. But Saul, the people took it and they sacrificed. I mean, Samuel, the people took it and they sacrificed. And people took it and sacrificed them to the Lord. Oh man, Saul, you don't get it. You don't get it. I'd rather you obeyed me and hearken to my voice. Not this show. David got that. David got that. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That broken spirit, that's like a horse. You got a wild horse, you're not going to take that sucker to war. You got to break them first. You break them, you get on that thing, you can ride in there with two guns out, sitting on your saddle, your hands are full. Or sword, whatever it may be. You don't have to keep the reins. You can just nudge them with to the right or to the left with your knee to go one way or the other. That horse trusts you with his own life. That's what it means. That's what the Lord wants us to be. That's what He's calling us to be. We will obey Him to the point. He gives us a nudge. All right, we're going there. Give us a nudge. We're going there. And you can choose to do that, guys. It's a choice you make. Now, do you think that horse goes, well, that doesn't look too safe that direction, so I don't think I'm going to go that way. Or, I'm really hungry right now, so can we just turn around? I'm going to turn around and get something to eat first, then I'll go that direction.
Might be snakes there.
Yeah, there might be snakes there. I don't know. Man, I really was fancying this really pretty horse over here. I just tell you, mare, whatever. Or vice versa. Praise God. No. That horse is on the whim. Trust that master for his life and does exactly what it tells it to do. You imagine you're in battle and the horse decides to, I don't feel like listening to that. I mean, you're both going to get killed. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. With the burnt offering, whole burnt offerings, then shalt thou offer bullocks upon thy altar. Then, when you get that right, broken and contrite heart, then you'll be blessed in the sacrifices. Because your heart's towards the Lord. Your heart's geared towards the Lord, pleasing Him. That's all that matters. That's what you choose. And the Lord's good. And the Lord, you know, as this purging comes about, as these come up in our lives, as the Spirit moves within us and brings these things that become before the Lord in us, He is also faithful to take that away. He doesn't show you and go, man, you're a scumbag. You're screwed, man. No. He's like, yeah. That was getting in the way between us. Let me take that away from you. So I showed it to you. But see, He's a gentleman because we have free will, right? He's not going to say, give me that. We have free will. We're going to hang on to it. We don't, or we're going to let go of it. Paul says he doesn't know Bathsheba's cute. But the Lord is good, man.
Yeah. Amen.
And He takes those things off. What does the Scripture says? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Man, it's a simple concept. Trust the Lord and do good. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, that's what it needs to be about. Lord, this day is yours. I'm here to please you. But with that, I'm going to let it go. That's almost time. So.
I'm going over yet. I'm going to lose all of my places. That's okay. How will that differ from any other time? This is His yoke. That's why it's easy. Normally a yoke gets the oxen like this, their necks are locked in. His is like, it's like just a little poke to get you back on course. Just a little poke. I had no idea this was going to take this course. But, you know, we have a society out here where the individual is being convinced daily that, we don't like needy people, right? Somebody becomes too needy, it just really stinks to be around them. They're way too demanding on your time, and they're presumptive that you're going to do things for them.
I'm sorry.
The thing is, in order to receive the Lord, you have to be understanding of how needy you are. And that's why some of these calamities that come on people, some of these nasty things that happen, are grace and mercy being extended to them. They need to know how, just like David knew, how desperate his situation was. And David wasn't pleading for his life. He was pleading that he spare any of the people, any of the people around him, any of the judgment that he was due. He was asking the Lord to spare them from the negative consequences of his sin, because they didn't do it. And he says, David says in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He's saying, "Lord, brainwash me. You've shown me how terribly needful and filthy my righteousness is. And I can't go forward unless you create in me a clean heart." And in today's speak, that is, I need a brainwashing because it's dirty. "And in me dwelleth no good thing. Cast me not away from thy presence." Do anything else you want to do to me. Don't cast me away from your presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And then, you know, the same exchange that Samuel had with Saul. Sacrifices. "Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou desirest not burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." That is the opposite of pride. A broken spirit, a horse has been broken, its will is the master. The person that broke it. It isn't prideful, it isn't presumptuous. It's waiting for instructions where to go. Tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. A contrite heart is somebody who understands the humbled place they're in, and they choose to stay there rather than to venture off into any of their own desires. To even entertain their own will. And it is, if in his good pleasure he restores anything at all to me and doesn't kill me, then I have a testimony and I can tell. I can tell the people again how good he is. And how we need his righteousness. We need his covering. You know, he loves us enough that while we were yet enemies, he sent his son to walk this thing out perfectly. With all the temptations and all the infirmities that we suffer, and he knows them fully and is an adequate high priest. His blood covers our sin. You know, you receive him. Receive his love. Choose his righteousness. Choose to receive him. And let him show you his ways. He's good. He loves you.